The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The two disciples recounted what had taken place on the way, and how Jesus was made known to them through the breaking of bread. And while they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." But they were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you question arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and at my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones. As you can see, I have." And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed. He asked them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of baked fish. And he took it, and he ate it in front of them. And he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms, it must be fulfilled." And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Only Christianity claims that God became man, that he suffered, died, and rose from the dead. No other religions claim this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is incomparable. It is a unique event in history. And as St. Paul says, without the resurrection, our faith is worthless. But within Christianity, we can compare the resurrection to some other events. For example, the raising of Lazarus from the Gospel of John, chapter 11. This miracle of raising Lazarus only appears in John's Gospel. This miracle resembles the raising of the widow's son in Luke chapter 7, but we're going to focus today on the raising of Lazarus. What are the differences between the raising of Lazarus and the resurrection of the Lord? Well, the raising of Lazarus points to something else. The raising of Lazarus helps prepare the world for the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus is the high point. The risen Christ is the center of history. Secondly, Lazarus becomes ill and he suffers. This happens to him. He can't help it. Jesus offers himself. He could have stopped it all, but he chose to go forward and offer himself. Thirdly, Jesus calls to Lazarus in the tomb, "Come out, Lazarus, come out." His raising, the raising of Lazarus, is a public event. On the other hand, the resurrection of Jesus happens privately in the tomb with only the angels as witnesses. Lazarus is raised, but he's not glorified. He's recognizable. Lazarus continues living the same life he lived before. And most importantly, he will die again eventually. Jesus is raised from the dead, but he is glorified. Jesus is not immediately recognized by his closest friends, his disciples. Jesus does not simply continue the same life he had been living for 33 years. It's different. But the glory of the risen Christ does not cancel out his humanity. And on this last point, I want to turn now to today's gospel. St. Luke, I love this little Luke's gospel, he includes a level of physical detail and a grittiness that might strike us as odd. Luke writes that Jesus says to his disciples, "Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have." Then, of course, I love this, the risen Christ eats a piece of fish in front of him. Luke even indicates the detailed baked fish, not just any fish, but baked fish. In this, to drive home the point that Jesus really did rise from the dead. It really is him, not a spirit that just looks like him. Our Lord is both risen and still wounded. His scarred hands and his feet are shown, but he's in no more pain. He's glorified, but he's still hungry for a good meal. These gritty details prepare the disciples to receive the most important message, the truth that the Christ had to suffer and rise from the dead and rise on the third day. This helps prepare them, the disciples, to eventually receive the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and to go out to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. My dear people, as we continue our journey through this Easter season, the Church invites us to reflect on a beautiful tension. We sometimes think tension is bad, but there's a beautiful tension between being and doing. The risen Jesus appears to the disciples. As I said, he eats baked fish, he shows his holy wounds. But our Lord, when he does these things, he doesn't become more divine. He's not doing these things to prove himself. He doesn't have to prove himself. This is a relationship, it's not an audition, which is why Back to Lazarus, which is why Jesus tells the sisters, "I am the resurrection and the life. Not just I will do this, but I am the resurrection and the life." The divine life of God is being, not just activity. It's both, but Jesus tells the Jewish leaders, before Abraham was, "I am." Not I do or I will, but I am. Jesus Christ, again, is the center of history. The center of history. Peter makes this point to the Jews when he says, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." For ourselves, we are human beings made in God's image. Not human doings, but human beings. Because human life is about living, ultimately. Human life is about living, not simply being able to do certain things. We don't become more or less human because of what we can or cannot do. An example from my ministry at the hospital will help us, I hope. When I visit patients at Rex, I always speak to them, whether they're conscious or not. And I've had people actually say to the father, "My dad or my husband, he can't hear you." And I say, "Well, I'm assuming that he can," and I keep going. Doctors and nurses are different. They're responsible for giving information to patients and sometimes only the families, so they have to speak about the patients, but I always speak to them. I especially speak to patients if I know for a fact that they've been placed on what's called comfort care. And in hospitals in the modern world, the culture of palliative care, especially in the United States, perhaps Canada, reinforces the false idea that patients who can't do anything become less human. So it's time to plan for death, right? It's time to arrange death. This is a lie. When you think about it, a person is either living and well, a person is either living and chronically ill or limited in whatever way, a person is living and sick or recovering, a person is living and dying, or that person is dead. A person remains a whole person until death. A person never becomes a non-person, a vegetable, before death. Why? Because, as I said, human life is about living. It's not only about doing. Now, of course, the Lord cares about what we do. What we do matters. Many of the Lord's parables make that point. But remember, while we can be in the state of grace, or while we can be outside of the state of grace, no sin we commit obliterates our souls. Our souls are eternal. And if we're alive, we can repent. We can receive God's mercy. And I recently saw an amazing photograph of a priest in a prison hearing the confession of an inmate. The priest, imagine this, he's kneeling in this long hallway in front of this big iron door, and he's got his head and ear pressed to the door, to this little slot. It's through the slot that he's hearing this prisoner's confession, because this prisoner is in solitary confinement. Very moving. Prisons used to be called penitentiaries. Now we call them correctional institutes. What's the difference? Well, correction is something done to someone by someone else, in this case the state. A penitent in a penitentiary, a penitent is one who repents. Only the prisoner can do that. No one, I don't care how powerful the state is, no one can do that for a prisoner. Through the grace of God, someone repents. And that priest was there. St. John writes so that, as he says, people may not sin. But John goes on, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. My dear prisoners, my good people, pay attention to each other. Let people see in your faces the shining face of Jesus. Advocate for each other in this sometimes dark and hurting world. Because no matter what each of us can or can't do, no matter our usefulness in the eyes of the world, may we make our lives a sign of the hope and the glory of the risen Jesus.
God the Father sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. We beg him now for the fullness of life that we pray.
That those who are baptized at Easter may grow even stronger in their faith and be powerful witnesses to the gospel. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For increased reverence and awe at the gift of the Eucharist, especially as we all prepare for National Eucharistic Congress in July, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our civil leaders and lawmakers, that the light and wisdom of Christ illumine their decisions and strengthen them to pursue truth and justice, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For peace in the world and for protection of all who risk their lives to defend that peace, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the youth of St. Joseph Parish, who will receive the Sacrament of Confirmation Tuesday, April 16th, and by the sacrament, their faith will be strengthened. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For increase of vocations to the priesthood and the consecrated life, especially for our diocese, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Nancy Mag. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who are sick or infirm, and for their caregivers, that God in His mercy will draw close to them and raise them up, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those intentions that we hold dear in our hearts, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And we close with the souls of all the faithful departed, that through our prayers and those of the Blessed Mother, they may join all the saints in heaven. Eternal rest for unto them, O Lord.
And let their best of us shine upon them.
And their souls, the soul of all the faithful departed.
To the mercy of God, rest.